The topic of the sermon today says faith is the victory. Can we say that together? Faith is the victory. Amen. Open your Bible to 1 John, the first letter of John, which is towards the end of the Bible. If you flip back from Revelation, you will get to John. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And I just read verse 4 and 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Okay, who would like to read first today? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Yes, Sister Frida, God bless you.
For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen. Are you hearing that? It says, every child of God has the ability, has the capability to defeat the world. Now, we know that we talk about the world, and we know, if you don't know it, I will tell you that the world is an evil world. It's evil from beginning to the end. Yeah? And why is the world evil? Why do bad things happen? Yeah? Why don't things go in a straight path all the time? Yeah? Anybody know the answer? Why is the world evil? Why do bad things happen? Why is this not a perfect world? Why is the world not a paradise? Anybody have that answer? Yes, you know the answer. I'm looking for one word. Just one word. Only one. And it's not a long word. It's very short. In fact, it's one of the shortest words you can have. It's just three letters. It's three letters. Yes, mommy?
Because of sin.
Because of what? Sin! Hello? It's because of sin. So if you ever met anybody, I told you, well, you said your God is a loving God. Why doesn't he stop all the evil? Now, let me tell you something. First of all, the person asking the question is not even submissive to the loving God. God is so loving, but this person that is querying you doesn't want anything to do with God. But he wants God to do everything for him. You see the problem? Hello? The man, natural man, is rebellious against God. But yet, he wants to enjoy all the benefits of God. You see why there's evil in the world? There's evil in the world because of sin. Now, it's not just personal sin. So, for example, if a tsunami happened or an earthquake, it's not necessarily because, there was a personal sin of someone. Yeah? There is personal sin that causes evil, but there's also general sin. You understand? Because there's a prince of darkness that rules in the world. And he cannot rule without sin. He tells us, the day sin is completely eradicated from this world, and that will happen, there will be no evil. Hello? Hallelujah? Do you know that this time is coming that there will be a new earth? And the Bible says that there will be no evil. I need to show you that. It's not part of my message, but we flagged it. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. Yes. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. Anyone? So looking?
He will wipe every tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I am telling you is trustworthy and true."
Amen. So the time is coming, and it's sooner than later, where there will be a new world. There will be no sorrow. There will be no death. There will be no crying. There will be no weeping. Hallelujah. In fact, more importantly, there will even be no parting. Imagine, no parting. You don't have to say bye-bye. See you later, because you always, there's nowhere to go to. We are all there enjoying the paradise together. Amen. God himself will be living with us. Hallelujah. That's how it was in the beginning. When God made Adam and Eve, he put them into paradise. Imagine. Everything was perfect. Yeah? Until they sinned and the paradise was lost. And all the story of our lifetime is that we are seeking this paradise. Yeah? Every time, everything you do, your everything you are aiming for in life, the height of it is what? Paradise. Are you with me? Yeah? It's paradise. But the time is coming when evil will be totally eradicated. Amen? Evil will be what? Totally eradicated. And there will be no sorrow, no death, no crying, no weeping. Hallelujah. Amen. Now listen. What is the basis for the eradication of evil? Do you know the basis for the eradication of evil? In this lifetime, we are called to make our choice. Yeah? This life. So let's say, from now to, you know, you spend 100 years or 120. Yeah? And then it's over. All right? You are making a choice. Yeah? And that is the basis for the eradication of evil. The choices you make on this, in this life, will determine your eternal status. Yeah? So there is a time that is coming that God will, actually, it's at the end of every man's life, God will have to, you know, God makes a judgment whether you will be part of the world without any evil, or you will not be. Are you with me? It's based on our choices. So it's the principle of probation and confirmation. Our life is a probation. We are making choices now that will confirm how we will be forever. Are you with me? The choices we make in this life, we confirm how we will, the status we will assume forever. Are you with me? And so that's the basis of eradication of evil, that in this life, if you accept the lordship of Jesus, hallelujah, and you trust in him for salvation, yeah, you will have the passport to enter into that world where Jesus and his lordship will reign supreme. Hallelujah. Where Jesus' lordship reigns supreme, there will be no evil. Are you with me? Now, let me say that again. You say, but you say, you ask me, you say, but why can't God do that now? The reason why God cannot do that now is that God has given to every man free will. And God will not override your free will. Because if God overrides your free will, God has denied himself. He gave you free will. So why will he override it? Yeah? He didn't have to give you free will. He gave you free will. You know why God gave you free will? So that you can voluntarily choose to worship him. Because that's worship. Yeah? You know that if you got home and there was a robot or a computer at your door and say, "Oh, welcome home, Fernando. I love you." It means nothing to you. It may mean something to you if you thought that, you know, it was, you know, somebody you really love, but the moment you realize it's a computer, it loses all meaning. Are you with me? Same with God. He has given us a free will so we can make a choice to worship Him freely. And when I say worship, please don't get the idea of just, you know, when you take the microphone and you sing, or when you clap and dance. That's worship, but that's just a part of worship. Worship means living for the glory of God. And that's the shortest definition of worship I can say. When you live your life for the glory of God, it's worship. Whether in the things you say, or the things you think, or the things you do, the places you go, how you handle difficult situations. Anytime you do something for the glory of God, it is what? Worship. Hallelujah. And that is why He gave you the free will. And many times you may say, oh no, I have free will. I can do as I like. It's true, you can do as you like. Yeah? Are you with me? You're actually free to do what? As you like. But you know what? That was not all the story. And if I don't tell you anything more than that, I'm just deceiving you. You are free to do as you like. But everything you did has its own consequences. But you are free. You see what I mean? You are free. But it has what? Consequences. But every time we make choices that honor God, is worship. Amen. Every time we make choices that honor God, what is it? It's worship. Some of those choices may be convenient to make. Some may be difficult to make. But every time we make choices that honor God, what is it? It's worship. Amen. And so that's why this world will not be wiped away now. Because this world is full of different human beings. Yeah? And they all have free will to make their choices. And God will give every man their opportunity to make their own choices. The only problem is that once those choices are made and their life is over, those same choices will determine how their eternity will be, whether with God or not. People who continue to make choices to deny God cannot end up with God. Are you with me? Hello? Get it. You know. Sometimes, yeah, as preachers, you know, sometimes preacher can get carried away, and just because they want to show the love of God and talk the love of God, they never say the truth. You must say the truth. Yeah? You must say the whole truth. I don't love you completely until I can tell you what? The truth. You understand what I'm saying? Someone says, oh, you know, everything about you is perfect. You don't have any blemish at all. You know, you're just wonderful. In fact, you know, when I wake up, I dream about you. When I go to bed, I dream about you. You are wonderful. Is that why? Have you heard that before? In the beginning. Yeah? Are you with me? Yeah? Are you with me? Yeah? That's one level of love. One level of love tells you that, oh, God loves you. He's in love with you. He's madly in love with you. You know, He just loves you. You know? That's the entry level. Yeah? That's the entry level. But it's the minimum level of love. You know, the higher level of love is a love that can speak truth, but still love. Are you with me? Yeah? You speak truth, but you speak truth in love. Amen. Bible says we should speak the truth, but we should speak it in what? In love. Amen. Are you with me? So, your choices will make you. And that's why there's evil in the world. Because the world is full of different types of people. Some have denied God. Some do not want to have anything to do with God. Some are playing God. You know, they are smarting God. Okay, I will do this, I'll do that, and then at least I will, you know. You understand? And that's why they open the doors for evil. Are you with me? Now, why am I saying all this? Since this is the reality of the world that we have to live in, how can we live victoriously? You see, that's the whole reason why I've gone this way. This is the reality that the world we live in is not perfect. Yeah? The world we live in it includes evil. So how can I live victoriously in the evil world. Why do things go bad, even when I don't know my best, you know, that they shouldn't? What can I do to make sure that I live in victory? Do you understand? I mean, sometimes you just say, oh, I just minded my own business. I didn't look for anybody's trouble, but somebody came to look for my trouble. You know why? Have you ever wondered that? You know, I just do my best. I'm not looking. You know, I've not bothered anybody, so, but someone comes to bother you. You don't bother the devil, but the devil comes to bother you. Please don't get the idea that if you don't bother the devil, then it won't bother you. He's not committed to you or anybody. I told you the devil is a condemned man. A condemned man has no future. He's condemned. You understand? The devil cannot repent. He's condemned. He's going to hell. You understand? So he doesn't have any commitment to you. He doesn't have any deal. He says, I don't bother the devil. That doesn't mean he won't bother you. Although if you bother the devil, he may bother you more. Yeah? Are you with me? How can you live victoriously? And 1 John 5:4 tells us, he said, anyone who is born of God. Can you say that? Hallelujah. Are you born of God? If you are born of God, say, I'm born of God. No, I want you to understand that. It's anyone who is born of God. I say, if you are born of God, say, I'm born of God. Hallelujah. That means you are special. That means you are different. You understand? That means you have something, yeah, that is great. You are born of God. You know, there's a song we sang when we were younger. It said, my name is there. My name is there. My name is there in heaven. My name is written in the book of life. My own name is there. You see what I mean? You are born of God. Your name is written in the book of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Bible says, anyone who is born of God, what does it do? Overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4. Anyone who is born of God has the capability to overcome the world. It doesn't matter what the world is throwing at you. Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter what life throws at you. It doesn't matter if you fall down. If you are born of God, what will happen? You will rise again. Hallelujah. Bible says a just man, he falls 7 times, and yet he rises again. Why does he rise? Because he has the life of God. Hallelujah. You know, let me explain that life of God. Some people call it Zoe. It's a Greek word. Yeah? It means divine life. I like to call it overcoming life. God cannot fail. Hallelujah. God cannot fail. You know the old story of life? The old story of life is that no matter how much evil there is, good will prevail in the end. Did you know that? That's the end of the story. Good will prevail over evil. Hallelujah. And evil will be disbanded. Hallelujah. That's the story. It's like God is playing out a drama. You know, God loves drama. You know that? God loves drama. God writes the script and then he puts all the actors. You're an actor. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Bible says that God declares the end from the beginning. That's why there can be prophecy. Hello? God says 500 years before that this will happen in 500 years' time. He has written the script. Then he invites the actors. Yeah? But you know the difference in God's drama? The actors have free will. They can choose to follow a script or not follow. Yeah? But the question is, if the actors have free will, how does God still write a script? Because God's reasoning is beyond us. There's something we do in mathematics. It's called probability. Yeah? Every probability of what you can do, God has calculated it. Yeah? And within that, he knows the end. Hallelujah. He declares the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? And that means that the key to living victoriously is to align with God. Amen. Say, one with God is what? A majority. It doesn't matter what is coming against your life. If you have God, and if you exercise your faith. Let me tell you something. You say, anybody that is born of God overcomes the world. But it doesn't stop there. He said, this is the victory. Someone say to yourself, say, this is the victory that overcomes the world. And you know what that victory is? Your faith. It's your faith. Yeah, I dare to tell you that the greatest treasure you have in your life is your faith. Use it. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, say, use it. Use your faith. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, many times we get carried away by what we are going through. Yeah? And sometimes you just allow yourself to sink. Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 7. Yes, 2 Corinthians 5:7. Anybody? Just let's have that again.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen. He said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, if you are going to follow what your senses are telling you all the time, yeah, you end up feeling discouraged and depressed. You understand? There's a lot, enough sadness in this. Enough sad things that can make people unhappy. I mean, I know there are times you are happy. You know, actually, I say, for a natural man, we want to be happy all the time. But is that possible? To be happy all the time?
No.
Sorry, say that again.
It's not possible.
Why?
What we go through in life makes us unhappy.
Exactly. I mean, it can even be as simple as going to the hairdresser salon. And your hair is not done, or even the barbing salon, yeah, and your hair is done the wrong way, that can give you a sad day, isn't it? So the happiness is not guaranteed in life, but we keep aiming for it. Yeah, happiness is good, but the world is evil, so it's not guaranteed. Are you understanding me? However, your faith is the victory that overcomes the world. What you need to do is always use your faith. Don't let your life depend on what you can see. Are you with me? So let me give an example. Let's assume that I'm struggling. Let's assume that I'm struggling with one of my boys. Maybe there's a particular behavior that I'm struggling with. Yeah? So what I can see with my sight is his boy is naughty. I'm not saying my boys are naughty, but I'm just giving an example. You know, and maybe every day is giving me a new style of naughtiness. Yeah? So, sight is telling me, naughty boy, naughty boy, naughty boy. And all I'm telling you is that you're a what? You're a naughty boy. And some people take it further. They say, oh, if you continue like that, you will not be a success. You know, and take it further. You are following sight. Yeah? Even in that situation, you can use your faith and begin to speak to his life and say, you know what? You're not a naughty boy. That's not who you are. You will be a great boy. You'll be well behaved. You use your faith rather than following sight. Are you understanding me? You go out and you know, maybe you're going on a work day and the first 5 things you do on that day didn't go well. And then you say, today is what? A terrible day. Nothing is going to work out. You know, you have yielded. You have given up. You have allowed yourself to submit to the facts. You can begin to use your faith and change the momentum of the day. You speak to it. You say the worst thing you can do if you are going through anything in life is to keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Open your mouth and speak the words of God. Hallelujah. Don't look at this situation and say, oh, it's impossible. You know why? You are just repeating the facts. Don't repeat the facts. No, if you repeat the facts, repeating the facts will never give you a miracle. Are you with me? Look at that situation with the eyes of faith and speak to it I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will complete my PhD. Hallelujah. Oh yes, my starting money is not sufficient. I was there, you know. I was there. We used to have the conversation. Hallelujah. 4 years later, I complete with excess in my pocket. Hallelujah. Who supplied that? It's not my connection to the president. It's my connection to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Don't submit to your situation. Don't submit to your mountain. You speak to it. You know why? Because you are no longer from this earth. You are now born from above. Say to yourself, say, I'm born from above. You belong to a higher kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You belong to what? To a higher kingdom. You are now a child of the King. That's your identity. You say, who are you? You say, I'm a child of God. Hello? You might say, oh, who are you? You say, I am what? A child of God. Hallelujah. That automatically bestows some right upon my life. Amen. Glory to God. I remember I watched a Christian drama sometime on YouTube. I advise you, you know, don't just watch everything you can get on TV. Remember that it's the world that is programming the TV. The world does not have the word of God. So they cannot give you the word of God. Hello? The worldly TV cannot ever give you the word of God. Because they don't have it. You can't give what you don't have. They will only give you what they have. Let me tell you something. If you're a parent, you have children, don't depend on the teachers at school to teach your children the right morals and discipline. If that teacher is not a child of God, they cannot give, yeah, the principles of the kingdom. Yeah? They will teach according to the curriculum, but everybody teaching your child will still overflow what they have in their heart. Hello, are you with me? And that's why as a parent, you have the responsibility to pass the word of God across to your children. I tell you, the best time you have to do it is now. Before they are 16. Are you with me? God gave you 16 years of life to download everything you know into your child. And you are complaining. Hello? Are you with me? The world cannot give what it doesn't have. So sometimes, go to YouTube. There are Christian drama on YouTube. You will still be entertained, but you will learn. See, I watched this drama. It was by Mount Zion Film Productions. And there was this student, a university student. And, you know, the lecturer been trying to date her. Okay, but this lecturer actually tries to date not just her, but many of the girls. Now, these things happen. Okay, they don't happen in UK, but they happen in some other parts of the world. And this girl is a believer. This lady is a believer and says, no, no, I can't do that. And the man says, who are you? You know, you're nothing. And then just brings out her exam script, which she has, you know, just written. And right before her very eyes, he tore it. You failed this course. Yeah? So, you know, all prior to that time, the lady was begging, you know, please, please. But when he tore that script, it was as if the lady's eyes opened. And the lady just walked out. She thought about it for a moment, then walked by him and say, Mr. Lecturer, you don't know who I'm connected to. I give you 2 days. 2 days to find my marks. 2 days! Otherwise, you will know who I'm connected to. Believe me, so other ladies failed that course. She passed. Hallelujah. You know why? Because she just woke up to her identity. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. You see, by speaking, she didn't just speak like a threat. No, it wasn't a threat. She spoke the word of faith. She commanded things which be not as though they were. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 4. Romans 4. Just be patient with me. Sometimes when I start my message, if you quickly try to interpret it, you will not know where I'm going to. I'm just laying the foundation. Let me show you this and then we'll round up within 5 minutes. Romans chapter 4. I want to show you a principle of faith there. Are you with me? Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Romans chapter 4, I'd like somebody else who has not read today to read. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Yes. Okay, I know what to do. We'll take it from two versions, okay?
As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is a father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were.
Because what? Things that are not as though they were. Amen.
Amen.
Let's have it. Same version. Okay. Good. Listen to this. Let me tell you the story of Abraham. We are rounding up. You see, when God promised Abraham that he will have a son, yeah? I think the first time that was probably maybe it was 75, you know? And they waited, nothing. And then Sarai then went to Abraham and said, look, you know, you have this promise, but look, my womb is barren. You know, I can't bear a child. Take my handmaiden, Hagar. And before we know it, Ishmael was born. Before you know it, we're still struggling with that mistake till now. Do you know that? Because Ishmael is a patriarch of the Arabs. Yeah? And you can see the war. Sometimes when I look at the map, it amazes me. When I look at the Middle East, you can see Israel, the state of Israel. It's just a tiny state. And you have large land of Arabic nations all around Israel. Large land. But yet, not thine place is still being competed for. You can't understand. It's not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. Yeah? But you see, God, when God wanted to fulfill his promise to Abraham, God did not fulfill his. You know that when God promised Abraham, it was only Sarah's womb that was barren. Abraham was capable. That's why he was still able to, get his son from Hagar, isn't it? So God did not act then. Are you with me? God waited until Abraham himself was no longer what? Capable. He was no longer capable. Let me show you that. Maybe we should read this so you know that I'm telling you. Romans 4. 19. Someone read 19 now. Romans chapter 4, 19. We're rounding up. 4, 19. Someone, yes? Okay, just. I'll come back to you. 4, 19.
Yeah, amplified. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb.
When God was going to act, God waited until. Let me tell you something. The fact that you have a promise from God does not mean it will be fulfilled tomorrow. Yeah? Many times there's a waiting period also associated. You know why? Because God is not bounded by time. As far as God is concerned, once you are not dead, his promise will still come to pass. Amen. The only time when it's over, yeah, is when you are dead. But even with God, it's not over. He can still raise you back to life. Are you with me? So God is not in a hurry to fulfill his promise, especially if his promise has an appointed time. All you need to do is trust him and wait for that appointed time. If you don't give up, you know what we read? He said we must not be weary in doing good. He said why? Because if we don't give up. Please talk to your neighbor. Say don't give up. Now listen, what I've learned about faith is this. It is not your business. Please tell your neighbor. Say it's not your business. To continue to argue and consider the facts. Are you with me? You're already in trouble anyway, so why are you considering the facts? The facts only mean trouble. Yeah? Don't worry. Don't argue the facts. Focus on God. What you want actually was not the facts, isn't it? What you wanted was a miracle. So why did you keep wasting all your time arguing, talking, meditating on the facts? These same facts that cannot help you. Hallelujah. As a pastor, what have I learned? You know, so I don't want to consider the facts. I want to consider what God can do. Hallelujah. And I already know that what God will do are those things that don't exist. Hallelujah. Yeah? The things that exist, probably you don't need God. But what God can do are the things that don't what? Exist. So don't consider the facts. Don't calculate and say, okay, maybe, you know, if God can just do this. No. You can't limit what God can do. Hallelujah. Bible said that he commands those things which be not as though they were. That's not the best translation of that scripture. I'm sure if you read it from me, Amplified or some other version. The best way to translate this is this. God commands those things which be not into existence. Hallelujah. He brings them into being. Hallelujah. Let me explain. Bible says, God, he made the world out of what? Nothing. Hallelujah. That means that your miracle, God can create it. Hallelujah. What you need to do is use your faith. Hallelujah. He is the God, yeah, who commands those things that be not as though they were. He's the God that gives life to the dead. Are you with me? So that's not just about a dead person. It also means a dead situation. You know what a dead situation is? A situation that is hopeless. If you analyze it from left, it's hopeless. Analyze it from right, it's hopeless. Analyze it from front, it's hopeless. From the back, it's hopeless. But not with God. So you see, he said, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. But it's not automatic. You know why it's not automatic? We're still in this world. We're still contending with the forces of evil. That's why, in order for you to overcome, you need to use your faith. Never get to a place where you give up and give in. Don't give up. Don't give in. If God wanted you to give up, you know what he will do? He will kill you. Then you will really what? Give up. You see what I mean? So long there is life in you, yeah, you don't need to give up. Hallelujah. Just believe. Hallelujah. Say, just say, believe. Believe. With God, all things are possible. You never get to a point in your life where you stop using your faith. You can use your faith for anything. You don't need to use your faith just for healing. Use it for money. Use it for a situation. Use it for whatever. Use it for your children. Use it for your marriage. Use it for anything. Use your faith, because the Bible says, let me open the scripture. We run up there. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me show you why you must always use your faith. Hebrews chapter 10. Don't live by sight. You are not called to live by sight. You are not called to live by sight. You are called to live by faith. Hebrews 10. Verse 38. Let's read 37. 37 and 38. Hebrews 10, 37, 38. We round up there. Hebrews 10, 37 and 38. Yes, who would like to read? Just a moment. I'll help you.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Who is talking there? God. Do you know that's actually a quotation? Am I right, Botosi? It's a quotation from the Old Testament. From Habakkuk. From what? Habakkuk 2:4. Hallelujah. It's a quotation. Listen to what he's saying. He said, you know, last week we talked about focusing on God's promises. You see, God's promise for your life. Once God has released that word, yeah, that word already has power to come true. Your own part is to believe and to persevere. Now, if you don't persevere, you'll be like Abraham. You go and settle for less. And that less will cause a lot of trouble and commotion. Maybe not just for you, but for the world. You do know that Ishmael caused a lot of commotion for Abraham himself. Not talk of now. 4,000 years later, we're still about it. Did you know we're still about it? Don't you know? That is the sons of Ishmael that is causing all this. Voila. There's a spirit. I'm not talking about people. I don't condemn people. I don't have hatred. You know, everybody can be saved. Hallelujah. Whether Arab or Jew or European or African, everybody can be saved. But there is a spirit of Ishmael. That's the spirit that is causing trouble. If you don't believe me, read Galatians 4. It talks about the spirit of the bond woman and the spirit of the free woman. And he said they will always be at war. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So persevere in your faith until God's promise comes to pass in your life. Because that's how God wants you to live. Okay? I round up there. I watched a movie the other day. It was on Moses. And that just reminded me that God gave them manna every day. He didn't give them manna for 1 week. He didn't give them manna for 2 days. Every day they must go. Trust God that the manna will come from heaven. Manna is like bread from heaven, yeah? God rained bread from heaven for the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness because they had no other food. But he didn't give them. And those who stored up more than a day's own, it became rotten. You know why? Because God wants you to live by faith. He wants you to have today, but trust him for tomorrow. Hallelujah. That's why every day he gave them manna. Hallelujah. Every day. So that you have to live by faith. And your faith is your victory. We round up there. I invite you, whatever it is in your life you've gone through, you are going through. You know? Sometimes you have been overwhelmed too much by the facts. Don't worry about the fact. Trust God for the miracle. What you need is a miracle, isn't it? That's what you need. You need a miracle, isn't it? If you need a miracle, you got to focus on God who can supply the miracle. Hallelujah. I mean, just looking at my brother's testimony, 4 years ago till now, you know, it's a miracle. Everything that looked difficult, one after the other, God did it, isn't it? I mean, that you share that testimony, I was just thinking, how great God is. I was there. I was there when that person said there was no funding, nothing. Hallelujah. And now God did it. And the doctor didn't do it. He added a bonus, 2 boys. One from the beginning. Or at the start, there was a boy. At the end, there was another boy. How great is our God? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Today, you know, as we pray, what I want you to do is, you know, look at whatever situation there are in your life. Whatever circumstance. It may not just be you. It may be your family. You know, it may be your extended family, whatever. And begin to talk to God and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I use my faith. I use my faith for a change, for a transformation. Lord, I will not be in a hurry. I will trust you. Because when you're in a hurry, you will settle for what is not God's will for your life. And that could destroy you. You know? But say, Father, I'm sorry for every area that I've been walking by sight and I've ended up settling for what was not your will. Today, I choose, I rededicate myself to trust in you, to depend on you, to trust in your promises, to trust in your promises. My faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Every situation, every circumstance I find myself, I will use my faith. There's no limit to it, please. There's no limit. Don't feel limited that, you know, there's a limit. Use your faith. God will do the miracle. You are not the one to do the miracle. Your job is to use your faith. And God we come through for you. Say, Father, I trust in you. Father, I trust in you.